Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Indeed, we know that mothers can be great, mothers can be powerful, but picking up after anybody else or herself is not the only thing that they do well. A man called William Ross Wallace said the following: "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world," or so they think. I added that at the end, just in case. Right? But there is this specific woman called Deborah that ruled the nation of Israel for a certain time, for a period that God called her, and she was a perfect person for the perfect job that God called and responded in obedience. And God was able to do what he needed to do with this great woman because she believed. But I'm not going to get ahead. You see, before Mary Tudor, who was the first monarch, woman, or queen to rule over England, or before Vigdisvin von Chandotir, I can't pronounce her name, who was the first woman to be the president of Iceland, there was a woman named Deborah that ruled over the nation of Israel as a good mother. Now, if you look at the book of Judges, of course, to give you a little background, this is a place of transition for the people of Israel. They had just gotten into the promised land, and Joshua leads them in the battle and the conquering of the land, and they start conquering and taking their places, all 12 tribes and the sons of Joseph. And once they're getting situated and everything, God made it clear that they would throw out, kick out, take care, and get rid of all the Canaanites. But did they? No, they didn't. And the Bible says that the Canaanites were there to be like a sting to the Israelites, to be used by God as a stinger, to discipline them and to show them his will, because they did not obey God. Now these people, the Canaanites, will be their enemies, and they would have to fight them, and they would have to go against them. And only by the power of God they were able to succeed. But the problem is that since they didn't do their job from the beginning, they did not eradicate the Canaanites out of the land. They didn't take care of that. So now they've fallen. You see the book of Judges, which we call, some call a cycle of renewal or a cycle of revival. But somebody else called it a cycle of sin and repentance, whatever you want to call it. But here's the deal. In the book of Judges, you see this cycle repeated over and over and over again. The people of God, instead of fighting against their enemies, they make alliance with these enemies. And the problem is that their alliance entails that they start believing in their gods. And they forsake their God, the one true God, believing in false gods. So they start doing that, and God kind of gets a little upset. So he says, you know what? Since you're believing in their gods, they're going to become your enemies anyway. Now they're going to subdue you, and you're going to be their slaves. For as long as you believe in their gods, for as long as you submit yourselves on your own will to their deities or so-called deities, I will be God over all, and I will punish you. I will discipline you, and I will show you. Now, of course, this cycle happens so many times that the people of God, they fall into the sin of idolatry by leaving God. And then they are subdued by these people. And after they're subdued for a certain time, the people of God get uncomfortable and they start crying out to God, please save us, redeem us. And they repent. So God then answers and delivers them. And they have a revival within the nation and start worshiping God all over again. That lasts for a while, and then they fall into the same predicament again of sin, cry out, repentance, deliverance, rejoicing, sin, cry out, repentance, deliverance, joy, sin. You get my drift. Does that sound like somebody around here? I mean, don't look at the person next to you. Look in the mirror. Because honestly, when I talk about this, it sounds just like me. Sin, cry out, repentance, deliverance, joy, sin again. Just keeps falling. And that's what's happening. But God would raise one particular person in the book of Judges, would raise one person to become the one who would deliver them. And they were called judges. Among them, of course, there's this woman called Deborah. And we're going to talk about her for a sec. But you see, God would bestow wisdom, strength, would bestow his spirit upon this one person. And that person would do their job as deliverer. And then that's it. And then the next one. But let's talk about Deborah. And I want you to go to chapter 4 in the book of Judges as we read part of their story. In chapter 4 it says, "Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died." You see, Ehud was a deliverer. I'm sorry, before them. Yeah. "And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. The sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, who was judging Israel at the time, she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel, in the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, Behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, Go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hands. Then Barak said to her, If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. This sounds like me in kindergarten. Mom, if you don't come to school with me, I'm going to cry because I need you there with me. She said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you're about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak and to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up with him. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated himself from the Canaanites, from the sons of Obab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak of Zananim, which is near Kadesh. Then they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Sisera called together all his chariots, 900 iron chariots, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Deborah said to Barak, Arise! For this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. The Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and all of his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not even one was left. Now, I want to go down to verse 23 where it says, So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the sons of Israel. I want you to be very, very, very attentive to what we're going to say now about all this stuff. And then we'll see in chapter 5 a few things. But let's get to chapter 4 first of all. Let's talk about Deborah a little bit and see what God did to her. First of all, she was a wise mama. She was a wise mother. I want you to understand this. She was a prophetess, which meant that she got word from God, and then she told the people whatever God was telling her to tell them. This is a good job, except you got to be careful. I'm telling you, right? So Deborah is the one who is sitting by the palm tree, and people are coming to her with issues. Now, some people or some theologians think that this is something that she was doing as a duty, as an everyday duty, to just sit there and judge, and people will bring her, just like Moses did and others. But also, some of the theologians think that this is just a one-time deal, that they came to her probably in their desperation or whatever it was. I'm not sure of which one is true. You can lean towards one or the other, and it's okay. The important thing is that God called her for this appointed time, and that people came to her when God could do everything for them through her, okay? But first of all, I want you to look at her. An obedient to God's call. She is obedient to God's call, okay? She was called by God. Now, she was not a prophetess because she chose to. She was not a prophetess because the people chose her in the elections. No, she was a prophetess because she had a call from God. Actually, she was one of five women that we see in the Old Testament. There are called prophets, which meant that God himself had appointed her. This is very important to understand. She's a woman of God. Now, let me ask you something. How many women of God I have here or there? Have you found your place in God's will? Do you know what he's called you to do? Do you know what on earth he wants you to do on earth? Well, today, I may not be able to tell you if he's calling you to do this or to do that or to do one of these or one of those or whatever. But one thing I tell you, you've been called to motherhood. From the beginning, God called Eve to motherhood. That was her first duty and the most important duty that she had, to be a mother. And what a joy it is. The mothers here can say that it's been the greatest call you've ever had. Amen? Wow, what an important thing. So we're acknowledging that God blesses us by calling so many to be mothers. Now, I understand that there may be some who struggle to have children. There may be some who struggle and may not ever have children. That this is something that it's just difficult to face. You know, we live in a fallen world, and some things just don't go the way sometimes they should. But God called you to motherhood, then you need to take your place as a mother. You see, it doesn't say there that she had children or how many children. It does say she was a woman, the woman of Lapidoth. Some even have the concern here that it says that she is the woman. Not the wife, but the word wife or woman in the Hebrew is the same word. So the woman or the wife of Lapidoth could have been that she was a woman from a place called Lapidoth, or she was the wife of a man called Lapidoth. We just don't know clearly here. But one thing is for sure, whether she had a bunch of children or she had no children at all, in Judges chapter 5 in verse 7 says this, there were few people left in the villages. The peasantry ceased. You see that? They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose as a mother in Israel. You see that? She arose as a mother for the nation, whether she had children or not. You see, she arose to take care of children even when they were not hers. Did you ever experience that in your neighborhood where there was one mama who took care of everybody else's children too? I know my house was always full of kids because my mama would feed them. Yeah, they would feed them good. Well, you couldn't tell by looking at me anyway. But I'm pretty sure that some of you had the experience where your mom took care of other children in the neighborhood. Maybe you had the experience where other kids came because they knew your mama would take care of them. Or your mama would slap them around silly too. Put the fear of God in them. You see, and this is exactly what we see in Deborah. And we may see in some others around here and everywhere. Mothers who may not be the mother of one or two children, but they have 20,000 of them that they like to take care of. She did not hesitate to perform her duties. She was ordained by God. Woman, you've been ordained by God to be a mother. Be the best mother you can be. And even some mothers you may think about, you see, you may not be called to do something special, you may think. Well, I'm not that special. I'm not that great. I'm not like Deborah. Well, guess what? What is the greatest and biggest responsibility and the greatest privilege that a mother could have? Every mother will tell you anyway, right? Having children, bearing children, being a mother. What a great thing. And you see, God entrusting women to care for his own, to care for his children, to care for his babies, to care for his little ones. Just like Deborah was entrusted by God. She was obedient. She found her place in the Lord and did exactly what God asked her to do. You see, if you're a mother or if you're preparing to be a mother, you need to obey. You need to be in obedience to God. God wants you to care. God wants you to guide. God wants you to nourish. God wants you to protect and defend his little ones. And guess what? God will reward you for your obedience. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that? You see, you seek him. You seek his wisdom. You are obedient. You simply respond to his call, mama, and God will reward you. And he will reward you abundantly with his grace. So, mom, you can rest assured, you know, like Deborah, God will reward your obedience. But obedience is not just for mamas. Obedience is also for boys and girls. It's for all of us to be obedient, right? But she was not just obedient. She was also a wise decision maker. You know, there's got to be something here. I mean, they came to her for her to solve the issue. And if she sat under the tree and she was waiting for people to come over so that she could judge, you know, that tells me that God had given her wisdom and that they trusted her. They trusted her. She must have done something right to be trusted. She trusted God. That's probably what she did right anyway. God entrusted her with her children, with his children, for her to give them wise counsel. She had word from God. She was a prophetess. You see, I want to ask you, mama, woman, man, it doesn't matter. Live on your knees. Live with your eyes set up on the skies. Live with your heart set up on Jesus, awaiting for him, because he's got a word for you too. Lend your ears to Jesus. Lend your ears to God. Lend your ears to the Spirit, because he's got something for you every single time. And guess what? For you that are younger, for you that still have mamas around, for you that your mom is still telling you what to do, listen to her. Listen. You see, because I'm going to guarantee you, I guarantee you, I hear it all the time. While we are young, we don't want to listen. But then when they pass away, then we're like my mama said. Don't wait to tell me what your mama said once she passes away. Don't try to tell me what your mama taught you at her funeral. Do it now while she's around. Amen. Hallelujah. We could go home right now, but we're not. Listen to her today, because then you're going to miss her voice tomorrow. So please remember that. She is wise. Listen to her counsel. That's what they did in Israel. A woman with a brave heart. She was a brave woman, I tell you that. You see, she did not just say, you go to battle. And they said, well, we're scared, or maybe not. I don't know why was it that Barak said, if you don't come with us, I'm not going. I don't know if he was afraid or he just said, wait a second. This woman is anointed. This woman's got it. We got to take her to battle with us because she's got it going on. She's got God on her side, and we need God on our side. I don't know if that was the problem. I don't know if he was scared, but it looks like she says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm coming with you. Oh, I'm coming with you. And then I started thinking about it. And you know how we always think about a bear and her cubs and how she takes care. Well, that comes from the Bible. Look at Hosea chapter 13 and verse 8. I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chest. There I will also devour them like lioness, as a wild beast will tear them. Now, I don't want to call mamas beasts, but don't get the beasts out of hers, because it'll be bad. You see, so maybe Barack understood this and said, well, because she's a bad mama, so we're taking her with her, with us, right? So he says, come on, you got to come with us. I'm not talking about a woman, you need to be a lioness. I don't think you need to be a mad bear or anything like that. But you just got to be, you see, you just got to be a mom connected with God. That's more fearful than encountering a mother bear. That should be more fearful, a woman connected to God. She was courageous, and she acted out of her obedience and out of her faith. Remember that 20 years, the Israelites had been subdued. They had been basically imprisoned. But then Deborah awoke. And when she awoke, everybody better wake up. You see, when mama gets up on a Saturday morning, she want to wake up everybody, right? To clean the house and do what you got to do, get all the chores done. Mama wakes up and she want to wake up everybody. Now, when we wake up, we don't want to make any noise. We don't want to wake mama up, right? But God woke her up because he knew, if I wake up this woman will wake everybody up. And she did. She did it like a bee. As a matter of fact, did you know that? The name Deborah means bee. She's a bee. A bee. You know, like bees in the beehive that make honey? That's what Deborah means. Bee. Now, let's think about a bee for a second. You see, bees get into swarms and they follow their leader. You see, the Jewish people followed their prophets. And so Deborah was the leader, the queen bee, let's just say, right? Now, this is pretty interesting, right? Now, if you think about it, the bee sting is quite painful. When a bee stings, it's quite painful. But they also make honey, not for themselves. You see, bees don't eat honey. They make honey for you to enjoy. How many of you had mamas like that? Don't mess with her because she could sting. But she was so sweet that she could date. You know, you could be on either side. Better be on the honey side, right? God's world, and the same thing with God's word. God's word will sting if you don't follow his commands. But also, the word of God is like sweet honey for those who obey and listen to him. Now, you think about this also. When a bee stings, always, a bee is not a predator. A bee is not a predator. So every time a bee stings, it's because she's trying to defend herself. The bee's trying to defend itself. So, and the problem is that when the bee stings, what happens to the bee? You see, the bee has a sting that, in the way it's shaped, once it goes in, it barely or even hardly ever comes back out. So while the bee is trying to get the stinger off of whatever she has punctured, she is broke in half. The sting comes off her abdomen, and in minutes, she usually dies. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know if you ever heard the expression, but this is going to hurt me more than you. When mama came at you. See, mama's hurt when they got to put a hurt on you. So just remember that. It kills her to have to hurt you. So avoid the pain. Be nice to mama. Be nice to God. Be obedient so you won't have to face the sting. See, bees collect pollen and nectar. Like I said, not for their own benefit, but for the benefits of others. They sacrifice and work really hard. Bees are lowly insects. Now, I don't want to call moms lowly, but you need to be humble, mama. You need to be humble before your God. Because without God, we're not all that. You see, mother, you need to be like Deborah. You need to be obedient. You need to be wise. But you also need to be brave at heart. And another thing I can say about Deborah, she was a worshiper. I didn't read it. But if you go on to the next chapter is a worship. It's a song. It's a poem. The lyrics of a song written by Deborah herself with Barack. She was a worshiper at heart. She even wrote a song to God. And you see, many songs have been written to mothers and about mothers. But mother, dedicate your song to the one who gave you the gift of motherhood. Sing to God. Worship your God. Love your God with all your heart. Sing praises to the Lord. And she was, if you look at chapter 5, she wasn't thanking God just for her or praising herself. Because remember, when she told Barak, I'm coming with you, but you will not get the honor. I will. Now, that says something, you know. It's not that she wanted the glory. It's not, and you can tell when you read the song in chapter 5, you can tell that she gives glory to God, and she does remember, hey, I did this, but honor to God first. And not only that, she honors another woman. Because you see, God had delivered them. But if you keep on reading the story in chapter 4, I didn't read the whole thing because it's long, but I want to tell you. You see, Sisera, who was the captain of the army of the enemy, he had to flee on foot. He had to get off his chariot and flee. And he found himself in a little village where he was trapped. And he's like, what am I going to do? So he went into this little village, into this little house, and he met another woman. And in this woman that he met, she said, oh, yeah, you can hide right here. No problem. I'm going to get you some milk. Because he was thirsty. And she covered him. She says, don't worry, I'll cover you. But she knew he was the enemy. And she came back with a stake and a hammer. Oh, my God. This is gruesome. I did not want to read the whole thing because of this, but I got to tell you, she stuck that stake through his head with the hammer and killed him on the spot. And that's how the people of God were freed and delivered from these people. Two women, Deborah and I can't remember the name of the other one, but her name is Hair or something like that. But I'll tell you in a second. I'll find it. Jael, that's her name. I remember it now. But she gives glory and honor to God. She honors Jael, and she reminds the people of what God did through her. You see, that's the proper way of doing it. You don't have to put yourself down as if you were nothing when God does something through you. Yes, God wants you to be honored when he uses you for his glory. But give God the glory, give the credit to whom they deserve, and give yourself some credit and allowing yourself to be obedient and wise and surrendered because you have done that for God's glory. All right? So let me just give you a couple things here. How come she was like this? The source of her wisdom and strength. Well, number one, of course, the source of her wisdom was the Word of God. The Word of God. Simple. She was a prophetess. And a prophet does not speak for herself or of her own or on their own. They are just the voice of somebody else. That's what a prophet does. That's what a pastor, that's what a preacher is supposed to do. I'm not supposed to come up here and talk my and give you my spiel, give you my thoughts, and give you my story, and give you my. I got to give you his. I am just a mouthpiece. He is God. I'm supposed to bring his word to you. That's what a prophet did. And I know that Deborah gets credit here, but let's give credit to whom credit is due to. When you look at chapter 4 in the book of Judges, the name of Deborah, or allusions to her at least, she's mentioned 8 times, either referred to herself on her own, or God referring to her, or the other people referring to her, 8 times. But if you read carefully, there are 9 addresses to God, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Now, I don't think I need to count the names. I don't think I need to count the times that Deborah's mentioned and the times that the Lord is mentioned to make sure that you understand that God gets the glory, not Deborah. I don't think I need to do that, but I found it curious that we sometimes miss that in the Word, this chapter is full of Lord, 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 the Lord, the Lord, because it was the Lord who delivered them through Deborah. And this is important that we acknowledge that she understood and she was believing the word of God. You see, God came to her and spoke to her. How do I know that? Because when she spoke to Barak, she said, did not God ordain? You see, in some translations of the Bible, it says that Deborah told Barak, the God has ordained that you put together the army and go. That's what some translations say. But if you trace it back literally, what it says, has not God ordained? You see, she's throwing the question, a rhetorical question, by the way, to Barak. Has not God already ordained this? Has not God already done this in his mind and in his heart? It is finished. It is done. Has not God already told us what to do? So let's get on and do it. You see, she relied upon God's word. And this is what God ordained, she said. Go and march up the mountain. Go uphill. Grab 10,000 men. I will draw Sisera towards you. I will do that, said God. I will bring them and deliver them into your hands. It is the Lord who will bring him. And then says, it is the Lord himself who would bring him and subdue him into the hands of a woman. And meaning Jael, the one who took care of him finally. You see, the Lord's message is a call to trust the Lord, to trust in his assurance, to trust in his victory, to be assured that when he says something, he's going to do it. Mama, you better trust him. Dad, you better trust him too. Every single one of us, let's trust God for our victories because he's got everything in his hands. He will deliver. He will deliver. And he will deliver you and I. Not only she trusted his word, as we see in that verse 6. Now let's look at verse 14. It says, arise, arise. You see, Deborah, for this is the day in which the Lord has placed the victory in your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. She tells Barak, you know what? Get up. Wake up. It's almost noontime. You don't need to be in bed. That's what you get for going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning playing your PlayStation. Get up. Let's go. There's things to do. There are things to do. There are people to take care of. You see, he says, you know, you better get up because the victory is ours already. Let's take hold of it. And then she says, because the Lord has gone before you. You better trust him. No matter where you go, when you trust him, he's right before you. He'll go and lead you. He'll go and guide you. He's got you covered front and back, over and under, and from within. He is with you. So arise. Never waver your faith. Look at her faith in God. She trusted his word, and her faith was placed totally upon him that he would do what he would set out to do, what he promised. You see, Deborah's faith inspired Barak. So, Mama, you can inspire your children. You can inspire others. Because she believed, Barak was like, well, you're coming with me, and I'm going to believe with you. And we're going to do this together. Doesn't matter who gets the credit. Barak didn't complain. Okay, Mama, you get the credit. Who cares? But let's just go do this. You see, we may not always know what lies ahead on our road. We may not know what's going to happen. But one thing you can make sure is that God is the one who makes things happen for you. And you can trust him. You can believe him. And he said, get up and go. Don't just get up. Get up and go. Trust God that he is your deliverer. Trust God like Deborah. This is the day that the Lord has given us victory, she said. And he has gone out before us. You can trust him. And that's how God subdued the Canaanites under the power and authority of the sons of Israel. So I tell you, make yourself available. Make yourself available to God. And God will do wonders. God will bring deliverance, not just to you, but maybe he'll bring deliverance to many through you, like Deborah. Obey him at all costs. And you will be rewarded. He is a rewarder. He does. He does that for you. Be wise. Rely upon the Holy Spirit and the Word for his wisdom over you and for your children. He will guide you. He will care. You see, be brave in the Lord because he will fight your battles. He goes before you. And last but not least, worship him. Lift your hands. You see, surrender your heart to the one who delivers you and your children like Deborah. Trust God. Trust his word. He is truth. And just get up, arise, and march on with his orders. Take your place in God's kingdom. Take your place in your family. Take your place in God's heart, because he loves you and he's got a plan for you. Whether you're mom or not, God has gifted you and he wants to use you. Now, guess what? This is important. This is great. Like in Deborah's life, you can have the victory. But there is no other way to have this victory unless you allow Jesus to have the victory over your heart and mind. Surrendering to him and allowing him to be your savior, your deliverer. First of all, you need to be delivered. You and I need to be delivered. And how does that happen? Jesus went to a cross to deliver you and me, to deliver us from the condemnation, from the punishment, from the eternal punishment of sin, because he wants you to live with him, for him, and he wants to live with you and through you. So what do you do? Surrender your heart to his power. Surrender your heart to his love. Acknowledge him. Simply surrender in repentance, and Jesus himself will be your deliverer.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.